Michael tagged me in. He's not feeling well, him or Brody. Michael has laryngitis. Y'all pray for him and pray for Brody. And he doesn't have much of a voice, and I think Amanda's praying inside saying, thank you, hallelujah. But, you know, she's up there grinning from ear to ear. So, but yeah, we need to be praying for him. And he texted me, I guess, or so Friday. He said, hey, you need to make sure you have one ready. Well, he texted me yesterday about lunchtime. He said, put one in the chamber. So when he texted me Friday, God kind of already started working and dealing with, hey, you know, this is, if it comes to be, if one gets put in the chamber, this is what I want you to do. And some of you in here today, it may be a little familiar to you, but we'll see. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're just going to do two verses. And these youth will know two verses don't necessarily mean anything. So, anyway, John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And if you would, out of respect for God's word, let's stand. We've only got two verses. Let's stand as we read God's word this morning and pray after we get done. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says, and this is Jesus' words. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. Father, as we come to you, Lord, I pray, God. God, I pray, Lord, that your word will resonate in this place. God, we know your word, once it's told, you tell us it does not come back void. God, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, the words that will be spoken, God, that the people would not see me, but that they would hear and see you. God, I pray, Lord, my prayer all morning as I've been here early, God, God, that you would give me clarity, that you would give me understanding. God, that the Spirit would reign so true within me, Lord, that I would have a spirit of freedom in this place. God, I pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak. And God, I pray this morning that you would do something that I know only you can do, and that's to change hearts and to change lives. God, we've already sung about the power of the cross. And God, we know that the cross is very powerful. And God, we put our faith and we put our trust in that cross. So God, this morning, God, speak. God, resonate with us. God, may you let these lips of clay speak truth. And it's in your son's name I submit this prayer. Amen. You may be seated. So, as we get started to where we are, I think it is important that we catch up to where we are, because I think there's details to know, to understand, that when we get to the point we're at in Scripture, okay, we have to put ourselves into the Scripture to understand what Jesus is saying, what he's talking, what he's preaching, okay? Where we're at here, in we're starting to see Jesus' path to the cross take place. In this point in Scripture, in John 15, we're somewhere a little less than 24 hours before Jesus is on the cross, okay? As chapter 13 ends, or in chapter 13, we see Jesus wash the disciples' feet, okay? We know in other accounts of the gospel, John doesn't give us the account, but we know in this same account, okay, this is where they're in the upper room. They observe the Lord's Supper. This is where we're at in John 13. We also know in John 13 that Jesus, okay, he explains that one of y'all are going to betray me. And we know that's Judas. He also goes on to say in John 13 that Peter's going to deny him not once, not twice, but three times. We see as John 14 begins, okay, 13 and 14 just coincide. Like as John 13 ends, John 14 just begins and it flows, right? But as John 14 starts, Jesus says, hey, look, I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And also in John 14, we see that Jesus is talking to those disciples, and he says the very key component that you're going to need is love. A longing, a pursuing, a desire for him is going to be key, the key essential that's going to help you when I'm gone. But he also says, hey, look, I'm not going to leave you abandoned. I'm going to send somebody the Spirit of Truth. And we all know he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit's going to give us understanding. He's going to allow us to understand all this stuff. Look, I tell these kids all the time, hey, look, I'm stupid sometimes. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you, that Spirit gives you understanding to what this says. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit, okay, Jesus himself says, it's better that I go that he comes. Because each part of that Trinity plays a very key vital role. Jesus played a role in his death, burial, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit plays a role because it is him, his presence dwelling within us. He gives us the understanding. But as chapter 14 ends and chapter 15 begins, you would think that there's something that happens between chapter 14 and chapter 15. Because as he ends chapter 14, as chapter 15 begins, it's like, wait a minute, what happened? Like Jesus' words are like different. This is just my belief, just after studying, okay? As chapter 14 ends, chapter 13 and 14 kind of could be encompassed together. As chapter 13 and 14 end, they leave that upper room. And they're en route to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're en route, okay? In chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, okay? John gives us something that no other gospel does. John gives us very, very detailed instructions into those last intimate details when Jesus was here on earth with those disciples. He gives us very, very key detailed information that a lot of other gospels doesn't give us, okay? There's a reason. And the reason is John's whole purpose for writing the gospel of John is this one key thing. What is it, youth? What is the purpose of John writing John?
Deity.
What about deity?
To prove Jesus is who he says he is.
God's only son. That is John's whole purpose from start to finish, to prove his deity. And he that's why we see all these very detailed accounts that he gives us. But as chapter 13 and 14 end, we see Jesus use the analogy of the vine. And we think, what caused this to happen? We know that he is en route to the vineyard. I mean, he is en route to the garden. Here's my thoughts. And this is just my belief. When they leave that upper room, on the way to the garden, they come to a vineyard. I believe when Jesus says, hey, I am the true vine, it would be that Jesus himself is saying, look, it would be an object lesson. Does everybody understand that? Okay? It would be that Jesus himself comes to a place where he stops and he says, I am the vine. Here, they're physically looking at a vineyard. You have to understand that Jesus does not do anything by chance, by coincidence. It would not be that he just stops. He from chapter 14 to 15, he is literally, I believe, looking at a vineyard. He is looking at the vine. There's people that believe that right outside Jerusalem, we know the Garden of Gethsemane is right outside Jerusalem, that there would have been vineyards, that they would have walked through. And I believe that's where they were at. So as they're standing next to the vineyard, we see that Jesus begins to read where he says, I am the vine, not just any vine, the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. And he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that he may bear more. You see, Jesus is the vine. This is what he's saying. He's saying, I am the vine. Jesus himself is saying, I am the vine. But the Father, God himself, is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser would be the owner of the vineyard. So Jesus is saying, look, I'm the vine, but God is the owner of the vine. He references also, so you got, again, we have to put ourselves in the scripture. We have to put ourselves understanding like why Jesus is saying, because John 15 is probably one of, if not the most intense teaching things that Jesus is doing with these 11 men. It's literally all but one's going to give their life for him, their literal life. And he says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. But he says two things. He says there's two types of vines, the fruitful and the unfruitful. You see, this morning, you in this place, me in this place, are one of those two branches. I'm going to say that again. This morning, you are one of those two branches. Just like as Pastor Michael's been talking about the church, the letters to the church. Hey, this church is one of those churches, but we as an individual are one of those churches. This morning, you are either a fruitful branch or a non-fruitful branch. Jesus doesn't say there's a middle. He says you're either a fruitful or you're a not fruitful. Does everybody understand that? If you listen and say amen.
Amen.
Okay. The vine dresser's responsibility would be to take care of those branches, that vineyard. If there was one that wasn't producing, he would know it. And he would remove it. And the same applies for the one that even produces the branches, because he would prune it. You know, he would look at that vine and he would study that vine, and that would, that a vine dresser, that was legit. That would be his livelihood. You know which turkey's sick or not sick? That's your job, ain't it? You're going to know, right? It ain't going to be a question where the Luke goes in there and says, well, I don't know. You're going to know, right? The same applies here. That vine dresser would know which branch would be producing and which one wouldn't be producing. Which one would be fruitful and which one would be unfruitful. So here's the big question. What's the application for me and you? Because we have to take scripture and what Jesus is saying to those 11 men en route to the garden where he's fixing to be arrested, less than 24 hours where he will be on that cross that the choir sung about. We are right here. So how does that apply to me and you? Because yes, Jesus is talking to the disciples, but guess what? He's talking to me and you too. Here's how this applies to me and you. Again, you are one of those branches, fruitful or non-fruitful. And the thing that you have to understand this morning, the vine dresser knows which branch you are. Let me say that again. The vine dresser knows which branch you are. I'm sure there were times that you could probably go by a vineyard, and even those disciples that were sitting there looking, and they could look, and we got the picture up here, and those grapes look good, don't they? But I'm sure that any normal person could go by that vineyard, and he wouldn't know the difference between them. You see, I could go into Luke's turkey barns, and I might could somewhat look, but Luke would know what to look for if something just wasn't right. The same applies to the vine dresser. He would know on that fruit of the vine. He would know which branch was producing and which one was not producing. But to the normal individual, he wouldn't know. He would just see branches, and he would just see some with grapes on them and some with not any grapes on them. Let me break it down a little more for you. What fruit are you bearing? What fruit are you bearing? What does your life show who you really are? What evidence is in your life that shows if you are a Christian? What are your branches producing? You see what the reality of it is? Well, the reality of it is, Luke, and we'll get to this, but the reality of this is you can fake it to your family. You can fake it to your mom and daddy. You can fake it to your grandma and your grandpa. You can fake it to the world. You can fake it to the teachers. You can fake it to the church. But in the end, the vine dresser knows who you are. And I can promise you, you will never, ever fake it to the vine dresser. He knows what branch you are. The vine dresser knows. The vine dresser knows. Are you fruitful or are you not fruitful? Some of you might think in here this morning that, hey, what's the big deal that if I'm fruitful or not fruitful? What's the big deal if I'm bearing grapes or if I'm just a normal old branch? What does it matter that if I'm going to be pruned or whether I'm going to be cut off? What's the big deal? Matthew 7, verse 16 tells us that we will be recognized by our fruits. You are what fruit you produce. In other words, what you say, what you do, how you treat others, your thoughts, what you do when you're alone, what you watch on the internet, what you do with your idle time matters. You can't say that you're a fruitful branch. You can't say that you're a fruitful branch, but your life never shows it. You can't say that I am fruitful, but yet live like everybody else. You can't say you're fruitful, and your life never reveals the fruit. You can't say you're fruitful, but live like everybody else. You can't say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and that the Lord, he's Lord of your life and your life doesn't show that. You can't say that I'm part of the true vine if you don't bear any fruit. Let me say that again. You can't say that you're a fruitful branch, a true follower of God, that Jesus is Lord of your life, but yet you never bear fruit. It is impossible. Matthew 7, we just read that you will be known by what you produce. And if you are not producing any fruit, you can't say that. It doesn't work that way. Scripture doesn't tell us that. What we produce is a clear picture of who we really are. And the thing is I think we have got the idea or the concept that if I come to church, I'm producing fruit. Listen, coming to church is not producing fruit. Somebody said amen, say it louder. Coming to church is not producing fruit. Say it louder. Amen. Coming to church does not mean you produce fruit. Producing fruit is what you do outside those walls, not inside these walls. Producing fruit is what you do at home alone, what you do with your family, what you do on Sunday nights, what you do on Wednesday nights, what you do throughout the rest of the week. Producing that fruit is what you do outside the walls, not inside the walls. But I will say this, if you say you're fruitful, then you're going to want to be here. Church wouldn't be an option for you. Again, the fruit you produce is not whether you're a member of Sand Hill Baptist Church. Producing fruit is what comes out of your life, what oozes out, what comes out, what everybody sees when you're at school, when you're at work, what my kid sees when I'm at home watching TV, what my kid sees at home when me and my wife may be arguing, how I treat her. What all that is what comes out of me. That is the fruit that I produce. What do I do when I see somebody that I know is lost or that God gives me an opportunity to tell them about the love, about the cross that we just sung about? Do I stay silent or do I tell them the joy that was in my soul because I once was lost but now I'm found? What comes out of you? And I have to agree a lot of times with what Billy Graham says. Billy Graham said, a long time ago that he believed the greatest mission field of the North America, one of the greatest mission fields of North America, you know where it was at? The modern day church, where he believes that 2/3 of every church in America is lost. You know why Billy Graham can say that? It's because we'll be known by our fruits. What we produce matters. What we produce matters. Billy Graham seen as he went in across all America, goes into these churches, and what he's seen. You know, he had the right to say that because he saw. And yes, we can be judged on the fruits that we produce because the Bible is very evident that we are known by the fruits we produce. But here's the thing. As Billy Graham said that, you might think, no, that's not possible. It can't happen that way. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and this is a tough message, a tough scripture that Matthew tells us here. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 21, 22, and 23. Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, and 23. If you dare, say amen. If you're not there, catch up. Matthew chapter 7, Stephen's on a time watch. That's what he told me. You going to get us out by 12? Yes, sir, we going there. All right.
Amen.
See, oh, wow. Look at that. Woo! I have to tell Michael, I'm going to call him when I leave. I got Stephen to say amen. All right, Matt, sorry. Forgive me, Lord. That was a squirrel. Matthew chapter 7, verses 20. Remember, I teach you a bunch of youth all the time. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. And they'll say all kind of stuff at any given time. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, 22, and 23. This is what it says. Very sad. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? Have I not done many wonders in your name? Listen to verse 23. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now I'm going to break it down to you. This is what he's saying. On that day when we see Jesus face to face, and when God looks at us and say, why should I let you into heaven? Oh, I preached. I taught Sunday school. I was a deacon. I went on mission trips. I did all these things. That's what he's saying right here. He said, I did this and I did that. I did this and I did that. And God's going to look at him and hear some of the four words that I hope nobody never hears. I never knew you. You know why Billy Graham said 2/3 of the church was lost? Because he knew that there was going to be somebody. Because the Bible says on that day, many. It don't say a few, Dean. It says many. Many. On that day will say, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. And he starts giving a list of all the things that you have done, but you have been unfruitful your whole entire life apart from Christ. Placing your salvation on a church membership or what your grandma or what your granddaddy or what your mama or what your daddy did, and God's going to look at you and say four words. I never knew you. Luke, that's sad. If I statistically, I'm a statistics guy when it comes to stuff like this. If I statistically take the size of this church, there will be somebody in this church that will hear those four words. If I just basing on, and I'm not judging you when I say, I'm talking about statistics. There's somebody in this church that will hear, I never knew you. And some of these youth are probably in here saying this morning, because listen, I preached this Wednesday night. And they're probably thinking, this is a repeat. And it is. But when Michael texted me and said this, there was no hesitation. There was no reservations. I didn't have to wrestle with the Spirit. You're doing John 15. You're doing John 15. And my youth can attest, and there's a guy, another pastor, he's preaching in another church this morning. Listen, I was in that office this Wednesday. I was under so much conviction, so much anxiety, and just the weight, because this is what the Spirit said. Somebody in that youth needs to be saved tonight. And you can ask those youth. I don't know if they could tell, but I was just under deep, just anxiety, because the Spirit had led on me to, hey, somebody in those 19 kids needs to be saved. Want somebody. So whether you were there youth Wednesday night and you need to hear me repeat it again so it sinks into your thick, hard skull, or whether there's somebody in this church that needs to hear this, God laid this on my heart for a reason and for a choice, and you are not here by chance. You are not here by coincidence. Fruitful, non-fruitful. What evidence is in your life that shows who you really are? Are you fruitful? Are you not fruitful? If I could bring you down here one by one, and we took that VGA cord or that HDMI cord that's hooked it up projectors, and we put you down here today, and we laid you across the floor down here, and I could some way plug you up. What if I could some way plug me up? What will be projected on that screen of what you produce? I'm not talking about sitting in here. I'm talking about what will produce when you walk out those doors. Because that's what Jesus is saying. Some are going to be fruitful, and some are going to be non-fruitful. But if I could plug you up, what would everybody see? But you know the reality of that is? The vine dresser already knows. The vine dresser, God himself, he knows. He knows whether you're fruitful or whether you're non-fruitful. He knows whether you're saved or whether you're lost. I don't believe that what the choir sung about this morning, the cross, and how he takes that baggage and he takes those chains and he lets us go. And when the Holy Spirit, God's presence dwelling within us, how can we not ooze out the Spirit? I'm not saying live a perfect life. Hear me when I say that. I'm not telling you to live a perfect life. That is not what Brad Kirkley's telling you this morning. But I can tell you right now, they will be evidence of what is inside. If you say Jesus is Lord, then you should be showing that Jesus is Lord. But my fear is, like Billy Graham, that the people on the outside are looking at the people on the inside, and they thinking there's no difference. We look just like everybody else, and that's, God called me to be different. God called you to be different. You know why he called us to be different? It's because of the change that took place in my heart when those chains got broken by the power of the cross. And we wonder why the church is so much in decline. We wonder why our pews are empty. We wonder, you know, why? It's because the outside's looking in and they don't see nothing that they want. You know, I go into these schools every week and I talk and I see people and I see administrators and I see staff and I see these students that, man, don't are not even involved in Sand Hill. And they come up and they high-five you and they hug you and they tell you thank you for being here. And the administration says, you know why they do that? You know why they do that? is because you're consistent. These kids don't have consistency in their life because they're taught so many different things. But you know, as me and Danny and a lot of these FCA leaders walk into school every week, I believe they see us, not putting me on a pedestal, that's not what I'm saying, but I believe that they see us and they see fruits. I believe they see us and they see that, hey, what is different about that individual? But you know, that a same should apply whether I'm at my job or whether I'm at family functions or whether I'm anywhere. People should look at me and they should look at you and they say, there's something different about that joker. What is it? I don't know anybody's heart in here this morning but mine. But I do know the Spirit gave me this for a reason and for a purpose. If you were to die today and you stood before the vine dresser, would you hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would you hear four words, I never knew you? I'd hate to know I went through all my life. I'd hate to know that I went through my whole life, Asa, thinking I was saved, and hear four words, I never knew you. I'd hate to hear that. But what are you going to hear this morning? If you're looking at the vine dresser, what's he going to tell you? You was a fruitful branch? Was you unfruitful? That's reality. That's reality, guys. Not reality all about what I say, but that's reality what the Word of God says. The only authority that I have as a pastor is what this book says. Because it is God's living word. It is inherent. It is infallible. And what it says is that either you're fruitful or you're not fruitful. Your life, if you say is Lord, is going to produce fruit. But if it's not producing, Paul even talks about it in his letters to the church. If you say something and your life is not showing that something, that you don't really have the hope that is within you. That's what Paul says. So what would the vine dresser tell you today? Let's pray. Father, as we come to a time in the service, Lord, where we respond to what you've told us and what you've spoke. God, my prayer is that people would ask that very hard question. If I'm standing before the vine dresser, what's he going to tell me? And God, my prayer is that nobody in this room, in this building, nobody would hear those four words, I never knew you. Because there's a way. Because we serve a way maker. Because we serve a God who sent his only son, whose name was Jesus, the true vine, who went to a criminal's cross, who died, and we know 3 days later rose again, that those chains of sin can be relinquished. That instead of being an enemy of God, we can become a friend of God. God, my prayer is that you do something that only you can do, and that's to change hearts and to change lives. But we need to ask ourselves, including me, am I fruitful or am I unfruitful? It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.